This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So that's two guys, two prominent quarterbacks, two prominent Cowboys quarterbacks in 2 weeks who have said great things about Kevin Stefanski. I don't mean to take this away from where we were going to take it, but that set me off in the wrong direction. You know what that tells me? You know what this is starting to tell me? You know, every time we bring on any one of the analysts or any one of these guys that get a little bit of time to talk about Kevin Stefanski, what are they all saying about Kevin Stefanski? They're all saying how much they like the guy. They're all saying how great it is that they believe he's coming back next year. They all say these right things. You know what they don't talk about? They don't talk about the makeup of the football team. They don't talk about any of that stuff. They don't talk about roster construction. I think in a way, like they all, and I don't see Kevin Stefanski as the type of guy to load these guys up on insider information during the production meetings before the game start, during the week. I just don't see him as that guy. He's not a real talkative person in a lot of ways. I think these guys see a football team they think is a mess, and they're going, this guy has been saddled with this, and I think that they think he's a good football coach elsewhere. And you can get as upset as you want to about that. I think that's the way they feel about it. And I've had my criticisms about Kevin Stefanski, certainly not as much as some of the other people here at The Fan, obviously, but that's where I think that they think about it. Because, guys, I can try to give you some arguments for Kevin Stefanski staying. I really can't sit there and stand on a hill and scream at you all about it. I can't do anything about the general manager, guys. I got nothing. I have nothing. Even yesterday, the kicker, you give a 3-year contract to, is missing everything and then overcorrecting. I got nothing.
Well, how much does it matter to,
because we high and low.
We have definitely seen Brown seasons where the players have given up, and
yeah,
they haven't. But does it matter? Does it really matter to fans if they're watching guys play out the string, but also, you know, there are some, if you really look, if you squint, you know, you are seeing some guys that are battling. When in this town, you know, we know firsthand, we can testify to it better than a lot of football towns. Like, guys gave up. Well, you haven't seen that, but
highlighted guys here.
But ultimately, does that matter to fans? Do they care?
No, I don't think it matters overall. I think they just want to see good football. I think that that's a loser's lament that we tell ourselves getting ready for next year. The guys who care, the guys who, like Winston Reed, I'm still seeing Winston Reed make plays. Okay, well, Winston Reed can play special teams for me next year. But overall, the sum of its overall parts is still bad. I have another theory to it that I'll share coming up a little bit later on. But altogether, it's all bad. And I think for a Browns fan, it's become frustrating. And I think that, again, today, I think, guys, is maybe my last stand to be really mad about this football team. Because I think now it just washes over. Now that it's all official that they're not making the playoffs, even though you knew weeks ago, but it's all official that they're not making the playoffs. There's no sense to lie to each other anymore. There's no sense to try to talk each other into it. There's no good guys and bad guys in the media or in the fans or anything like that. It's all there for you. It's all truth, black and white. You're 3-10. You're a terrible team. You have a terrible outlook for the future, and you have a terrible, terrible situation that somebody somehow needs to start to get fixed. And then we'll have the argument maybe about if it needs fixed. Well, I don't know. 3-10, what's that tell you? Does 3-10 tell you something needs to be fixed? Or something needs to just be augmented? Are they in reload situation? Who was the one that said they were in reload, not rebuild?
Was that Breer?
It was like Breer or somebody said that they were, you know, resetting or soft reset or one of the other terms that we throw around because it's a giant office anymore. But it's today is a moment that I think separates itself for the rest of the year. And I'm not telling you that I'm not going to care for the rest of the year. But again, guys, if I just come in here after they get smashed against Kansas City, maybe there's going to be something I'm really angry about. I'm not going to sit there and do a performance.
Well, but that's the thing about this, Ken. The soft reset thing and watching where this team is going, seeing how their guys are kind of aging, even if you've seen, you know, really good things by Jack Conklin, I mean, we know that's not a guy you're building around for the future. So that's part of it. Like, they can't. Andrew Berry cannot say we have to go into rebuild mode. Because if that were the case,
then he's not the one rebuilding.
Then he would just be gone. So I think the self-preservation mode is going to be part of this, where I do think if there were any other GM were to come into this, they would say, it's time to relaunch a new Cleveland Browns. And by doing that, you know, doing it the way that you're supposed to do it, the professional way to do it would have been trading guys at the deadline and starting over, mm-hmm. and getting as many draft picks as humanly possible. They didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that pivot is going to be hard, because there's a lot of other teams where the arrows are trending up, and you realistically cannot say that with the Browns right now, that their arrow is pointing up.
No.
So it's going to continually be here, you know, this offseason, shortcut, 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 to try to keep this thing good, where that is not really the responsible way to do this, but it's going to be the only way to keep fans kind of invested.
I've tried
with these guys that they have.
Like, I try to tell myself, I haven't said it on air, but I've tried to tell myself off the air, like, make an argument about why this situation is better than the Jets situation. I can't, because they have a better chance, because they're not saddled with Aaron Rodgers' contract until the cows come home. Like, they'll have a bad year, and they'll have a year where there's dead cap, and then that's it. Like, we still have three more years of that. And nobody, I don't even think the Browns, nobody, and I don't think him, want him to play for the Browns anymore. And that's where it starts, and frankly, that's where it finishes. I mean, we could sit there, and I can bitch and moan about a lot of these other players, and damn it, we got 4 hours a day, and I'm sure I will. But damn it, that's where this whole thing starts. Like, we want to put DTR out there. Okay, put DTR out there. Because again, I think we're willing to try to latch on to anything that we'll talk ourselves into some of the worst quarterback play ever, as long as it's not that guy. Jameis Winston, I mean, we're throwing picks on screen passes, telegraphed to everybody. And we weren't throwing, it wasn't like it was picked off by Micah Fitzpatrick, who ran up from the secondary and saw it. It's being picked off by nose guards. Which, by the way, reminds me of what happened last year, but the vibes were much different when Joe Flacco got picked off on what looked like a screen. That was against the Jets of all teams, ironically. It's like, if you want to have an argument about DTR, fine. Put DTR in there.
Well, I saw a lot of people with an about face on Jameis. Like, after the last few weeks, it was, all right, at least we're in good hands to start out the season next year with Jameis so we can have hope for a playoffs. And then I feel like a lot of that was vanquished yesterday. And I did caution people last week. I'm like, you do realize, like, Jameis, we've seen some good Jameis so far. A little bit of bad, some good. Like, he's
That's
gonna,
the full Jameis
he's,
experience.
He's going to have a flat-out bad game. And then are you guys still going to be with him? And it seems like a lot of people bailed on that yesterday. But I don't know a lot of the options that the Browns have at this point.
Do you want to see DTR? Are you done with Jameis? 216-474-0092. Are you done with Jameis?
I think Jameis probably gets this week against Kansas City, and then that's probably it. Then we play DTR the final three games.
We play DTR the final three. Okay. That Cincinnati game's been moved to Sunday, the 22nd. And then you have, so you're supposed to have Sunday night against the Dolphins. Has that been changed yet? I'm not sure. That looks like
that's
got
still there for now.
That looks like that's got 1 o'clock written all over it. And then I'm not sure about the Ravens game. So there's still a lot that's up in the air there. So do we need to see DTR, or do we know what we have in DTR? Should we just stick Watson back, Winston back out there?
How could you?
Should we put Bailey Zappi out there?
How many games has DTR started?
Three, maybe four.
How could he? Even if you think he sucks and he doesn't have any of the traits to be a good quarterback. I think the one thing you can't say is that you know what you have in them. How would you know? How would anybody know? How would the Browns know?
I mean, I wanted to say, but when they still technically had a shred, and fans get upset, and I understand it, where it's like, hey, I know that they're going to be out of the playoffs, but they can't operate like it. When you hear Kevin Stefanski say, hey, the playoffs start now, you want to make the playoffs, you're in the playoffs. We roll our eyes at it. They're still in that five. Well, now that the playoffs are done, there's no playoffs anymore, you can legitimately look at the Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I don't know. Do you want to just dip him into the hot water and play him against Kansas City coming up on Sunday? You could always do that. I mean, I know that you're waiting for it, but it's like, well, again, you brought it up, and I think you made the best point. Jameis Winston could go out there and roll out of bed in a year and have the same type of game he had against the Denver Broncos, or have the same type of game he had yesterday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, you know what you have in Jameis Winston. I sincerely can't say we know exactly what we have in Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I mean, I got a feeling that it's not much, that it's probably a backup at best, that if we really wanted to have the argument that we're just going to have to go out there and draft a guy. But still, if you wanted to see anything in Dorian Thompson-Robinson, now would be the time to go see him. Whether it be the final four games or the final three games, I don't know if that matters. 216-474-0092. Do you want to see DTR? Does it even matter to you anymore? Ed and Avon Lake, you're first up on the fan.
Hey, how you guys doing? Hey, real quick. I say, you know what, don't start DTR against Kansas City. That's not fair to him, you know. But go ahead, start. He might as well. The other thing, I just wanted to say goodbye to you guys because after 52 years as a fan, I'm now done with the Browns officially. So Ed from Avon Lake won't be calling it anymore. And really enjoyed your show.
Now, hold on. Stay with me here for a second.
I still need Ed for the Ohio State calls,
Ed,
though.
You called in over Ohio State. You got mad over Ohio State. That was good stuff. You're all done because of the Browns, Ed.
Yeah, I've said that off and on over the last 25 years, and I always get sucked back in just like Charlie Brown.
Well, Ed, I'll tell you this. I don't want you to leave the show because of the Browns. That's something
I'm gonna go on to the Guardians, but
well, okay. Well, then that's fine. Like, if you ever call in again over the Browns, I'm not gonna rip you for calling in again over the Browns. At least I try to say that. We'll find out. It depends on what mood I'm in that day. We'll find out. Ed, thank you very much for the call. You know, you said somebody was on the station. They were talking about Breer, soft reset, things like that. What am I resetting? I got Myles Garrett, who puts up tremendous numbers on a team that's been to the playoffs twice during his career. Tremendous. Wonderful. I'm sure he's disappointed in that. I have Nick Chubb, who's the greatest running back since Jim Brown on this football team. They've been to the playoffs twice. And one, he was injured, unfortunately. I've had Denzel Ward. Denzel Ward's been a good football player, guys. But, we could sit and talk around it all we want. We got to find the most important position on the field. And I know that that play is down across the league, but we have to find the most important position on the field. Because guess what? To get to where we need to go, it's still probably going to be a lot of the same old characters that we talked about for so many years who are at the final spots in the postseason coming up this year. So I can't say that these guys fall off of trees, but I got to find something that makes this thing okay. At DTR, I don't think is going to find something that's going to make this thing okay. I just don't want to go to do it to be interested in something. Don't put DTR out there just because I'd be interested in seeing how it is. I want to see whether or not he'd be okay. Like when Ed and Avon Lake said, well, I wouldn't put him out to Kansas City, it wouldn't be fair to him. Well, guys, there's no St. Ignatius on that schedule. There's no high school teams on that schedule. They're all professional football teams. They can all get after you in some sense. You've lost to good teams. You've lost to terrible teams. You lost to the Giants earlier this year. The Giants are terrible. Like, they're all professional football teams. So the status of the Chiefs, who've played a lot of tight football games, that doesn't dissuade me from putting DTR out there if I feel that it's time to see what he can do. He has led them before. They've played emotionally for him before. There has been some leadership there. Certainly, that was an emotional game at home against Pittsburgh, I know. But there has been something there with him before. All right, well, I got nothing else going for me. Let's see what we can do. I just don't want to do it because, well, I want to see something different because I want to be entertained. I want to do it, but I want to do it for the right reasons. Because frankly, guys, we're at this position right now with this quarterback situation. Jameis Winston has played well enough to fill you with false hope. He's played bad enough to be very affordable for you. Got the right attitude. I mean, last night or yesterday, while I'm upset, and I'm upset with the performance, I'm upset because Mike Tomlin did his typical, I'm going to let you choke yourself out game, which, great for him. He's a great football coach. I'm upset about that. I am trying to see some of the common sense here going, if you could rein in Jameis Winston some way, somehow, he could still be a backup quarterback for somebody else and could play a couple of games for you here. Because right now, I don't know where else to go with the most important position. So the way I see it is with this group, you're just prolonging the inevitable right now. I don't want to get to this same place next year, Anthony. I can't allow it to happen. I can't be 3-10 next year with the same cast of characters, or 4-9 or something else that's untenable. I can't do it again with the same cast of characters. It has to mean something. So I have to find anything in that position that's going to help me and let defenses at least take it somewhat seriously to open up the run game and open up other people.
Well, so it brings me back to the Cincinnati game earlier this year. That was the game that Deshaun Watson went out with the injury. And remember, right before the game, they're like, no, DTR is the backup. And Jameis was relegated, right? Why? Why? If they thought DTR could handle that responsibly then, I don't have any reason
to
believe.
I'm just going off a previous caller. That's where I'm,
Yeah, but I don't have any reason to believe that if they made that decision way back then, did anything happen? Has anything really happened since then? Other than we've seen Jameis, we've seen the ups and the downs of Jameis. So that's why I'm saying Jameis gets Kansas City, and then I think we're done. I think win or lose, by the way, even if Jameis played well and outplayed Patrick Mahomes and won. All right. I mean, we do understand you're jockeying for draft position at this point. You've got really nothing else to play for other than the evaluations. All right, but we've had a favorable evaluation of Jerry Jeudy. We've gotten the most out of that. So what else is there? What else is there? So for me, I'm going DTR after the Kansas City game. Like, no other reason to budge off that at this point.
216-474-0092. I'm open to playing him on Sunday. I'm open to playing him on Sunday. If he goes out and he plays well against one of the best teams in the NFL,
or starter, off the bench.
Starter.
Okay.
I'll consider it. If he goes out there and he plays well against one of the best teams and one of the better defenses in the NFL, then I think that we can have a conversation. I might as well, if we're going to learn how to swim, I'm just going to do what my buddy's dad did and throw everybody in the deep end. It's not like, you know, if you gave him today, if you came to him today and said, you're going to start coming up on Sunday, get yourself ready. It wasn't like it was 10:30 in the morning of the game like they did against the Ravens. You're going to start on Monday. We have a relatively healthy football team. You have I don't know what Cedric Tillman's status is going to be. You have relatively healthy wide receivers. You have David Njoku still. We'll see what Nick Chubb and Jerome Ford can do for you. Your defense is still, again, relatively healthy as a team in week 15 would be. I don't think I'm sitting you behind the eight ball other than, hey, you're a young quarterback. You're a former sixth-round pick. We'll see. And if worse gets to worse, if you are overwhelmed by it, then we can put James over
here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jameis Winston back in. But at this time in his life, in his career, he shouldn't be overwhelmed with the possibility. He could go out there and lose because Kansas City's a much better football team than we are. He could go out there and do that. But he shouldn't be overwhelmed by this, or we kind of know what we got now, don't we? So I don't have to, he's a grown man. I know he's a young man, but I don't have to handle him with kid gloves coming up on Sunday. He's on this football team. He has started games for this team before. Damn it, you want your shot at this. We are a team that's looking for a quarterback right now, anywhere we can get him to not have to put the other guy back out there. So if you want to step up and take this opportunity, young man, now's the time to do it. I can't just go ahead and pick and choose what other situations are going to be there, because you know what? What if all your offensive linemen get banged up in this game against Kansas City? I'm going to stick you out behind a bad offensive line? What if your defense gets banged up in this game against Kansas City? I'm going to stick you out there with a bad defense? So now's the best time than any. You don't have any tune-up games here. It's the NFL. 216-474-0092. Joe and Parma, you're next up on the Fan. Joe is gone. Kevin in Georgia, you're next up on the Fan.
I think the saddest aspect is there's absolutely no reason to think they'll be any better next year. They have no ability to evaluate players. They have no ability to call plays. That fourth and one sweep call was a freaking joke. Let me save you the suspense. You put DTR out there against Kansas City, they're going to lose by 30 points. Listening to Jameis Winston talk about how turnovers are like Easter eggs, and the other team finds them. Jameis, you throw the ball to the other team. That's how they get turnovers.
Well, now no one said the Easter egg hunt had to be difficult, Kevin.
It's ridiculous. They take no ownership of why they're terrible, and there's no reason to think they'll ever be any better with this cast of characters. They need to fire Andrew Berry. They need to just clean house. This is terrible.
So who do you want to start on Sunday?
It doesn't matter. They're going to lose. And the sad thing is, if they lose the rest of the season and they have the number one draft pick, they're not going to make the right pick anyways. They have no future. This is abysmal. I've been watching this for 30 years, and there's no reason to think they're ever going to get any better.
Like, guys, I don't mean to go out there and do sad bastard radio, but I think that that's part of it. It's not just that the quarterback situation isn't good. It's not just that the team is 3-10. Is that you are convinced that the person you don't trust making picks is coming back. I wish I could make an argument for him. Can you give me one?
I think you and I have been on the same page on Andrew Berry for like a month now, where we've been ready to move on.
Unless you and I have just been told the wrong things over the last how many years, that it was absolutely the owner that decided above everybody that they were not going to keep Baker Mayfield, even though that the owner loved Baker Mayfield. Do we want to sit there and we want to have that conversation? Maybe that's really the case. I've been used as a patsy before. Maybe I'm used as a patsy again.
Yeah, I mean, even if you were to take the Deshaun Watson part of this out, which is the biggest elephant in the biggest room in the world when it comes to the NFL right now. Let's say you're not holding any particular front office member accountable for that, which is a reach, but let's just say that were the case. Has Andrew Berry drafted well enough to keep his job?
No. No.
And have they had enough success as a team for him to keep his job?
No.
Like, and then...
It's been there 4 years, right? This is year five. Yeah. They have been to the playoffs twice. They have been to the playoffs twice. So they technically have been... Don't punch me in the mouth for this. They have been technically successful enough to keep his job. You've given me one argument. Yeah. Because if... I don't want to go out and make bad decisions because I'm mad.
But they were a six seed both years.
I know. But they made the playoffs. I don't want to go out and make bad decisions because I'm mad. Because remember, it's not just about firing Andrew Berry. Anybody can fire Andrew Berry. It's about who I'm replacing him with. Who am I going to replace him with? Am I going to just replace him with Glenn Cook? Well, if it's the same type of thought process, can't Glenn Cook just help him make these decisions? Unless Glenn Cook gets hired somewhere else, then I can't do anything about that. Like, my first thing would be to go to people I know. You know, I don't know a lot of the other up-and-comers coming up in the league as far as general managers. I haven't had to pay attention to that sort of thing in a while. Like, every year, it's been a while since I've had to do that. You know, go ahead.
Who's telling him that, hey, I know you've been doing it this way, but now Glenn Cook's going to come in and help you?
Well, that's another part of it.
Because we did that with John Dorsey.
What I'm saying is that's the only thing that I would know is to go with who I know. As a person in Cleveland
then
right now.
I think you know what the correct answer is.
We did that with Ray Farmer, for crying out loud. Yeah. So I don't want to go from lily pad to lily pad. So if that's the way that they're thinking, then fine. Just hold on to Andrew, and I'll pray to God every single night that he goes out and makes the right draft picks coming up in this draft. Even though Jed Wills is no longer going to play for the Cleveland Browns. Well, I'll tell you what. If he ever takes a snap for the Cleveland Browns again, you certainly have a problem with your culture. But, I mean, no one wants to hear. Well, everybody actually wants to hear about that. Just nobody wants to hear that in certain places. Because, again, this is part of your culture with your football team. It's been a giant petri dish. It hasn't been a football team. Jadeveon Clowney says something in October. We don't hear about it until December. With players who want to throw him out of the locker room, we don't hear anything about that in December. And that was 2 years ago. That's a team that made the playoffs last year. See, when they're given a chance to be a football team, a lot of these guys actually try and get emotional and go out there and play. When it becomes just an experiment upon experiments, then you have kind of what you have right now. We have Kadarius Toney returning kicks as if we got to find any more gas in that vehicle. That one's done. Done. These charity cases, these experiments, these test scores.
Yeah, just because he was a first-round pick 5 years ago.
Exactly. I've had enough. If you wanted to bring in Kadarius Toney now and go ahead and kick the tires on, you go right on ahead. Go right on ahead. He had been with the team already, but since we put him in a spot and he ended up not just, I mean, guys muff punts. Guys try, they muff punts. It happens. Committing personal foul penalties, you have nowhere near the gravitas with this organization to commit personal foul penalties. Who are you? Who are you to go out there and get into it with other people?
He just
if Miles
seems,
wants to go get into other people, and he has, go right on ahead.
Yeah, it seems like Toney
95 can do what he wants.
Is one of those guys that is such a self-sabotaging guy that everything he touches turns to Loserville.
But don't let me turn it on to Kadarius Toney. Who brings in Kadarius Toney? You know, who brings in this? I got no faith in that aspect other than who do I replace him with? Because I'll have to calm down after today and make a serious decision if I'm the Browns in the future. Who do I replace him with? Because I don't want to just keep stability just to have stability. If I feel I can get better, I'd like to get better. Because I can't do this again. I'm sorry. I don't mean to call you out. There's times where I've said sentences today. I think you're disinterested in it. You know that I'm shouting into the wind. You know that I'm angry and there's nothing I can do about it. I think the listeners and callers are the exact same way. I can't do this again next year. A season has to mean something. Two other teams have had seasons that mean something, and we're sitting here with this team,
but that,
which we are a football region.
That is what's so hard about this situation is right now, what could they possibly do to make next season mean something other than, you know, they get off to a great start next year. Okay, now you're invested, but so is every other NFL team in that situation. What could you possibly do that would get fans very, very pumped up, very amped about going into a season? What would that move be?
Maybe it would be DTR, because there's a lot of people here who want to go to DTR.
Denny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
All right, so it wasn't exactly a good time had by all for those that made the pilgrimage right up the road to Pittsburgh.
No, it wasn't.
As it was brought to my attention that we had some locals making their way there to the game. And Kenny, one of them at times listens to the radio show.
Yeah.
Carly Teller.
Yeah.
So she was in Pittsburgh to support the Cleveland Browns and, of course, her husband, Wyatt. And she had this to tweet yesterday. The fans in Pittsburgh were so blatantly disrespectful to me and the Browns girls. I've never felt so attacked by people who I literally did nothing to. Very sad, embarrassing behavior. And it got us thinking whether or not, now we are not in the NFL.
A lot of Steelers fans are just despondent in her mentions right now.
Oh,
I don't even
want
to read. Yeah, Twitter reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. I'm not going to read any of them, but this is as good a time as anything.
They're mostly saying turnabout is fair play because there are a lot of Pittsburgh fans that were in Cleveland for the for the Snowmageddon.
Guys, in these situations, can I just... Well, I'll tell you what, the snow game, I think the snow kind of took the heat out of the situation.
Oh, you think so?
Because I had a buddy who... He's like, I'm taking my son to his first ever game. And they're Steelers fans. And I was like, oh, great. Like, in my head, I'm going, oh, God. Like, but I think the snow changed people's moods. Like, the Browns won, except for George Pickens. He was angry in the snow. But I think the snow changed people's moods. So I didn't hear anything nasty in the stands in that game. Yes.
Oh, that's funny, because Trey tweeted to Carly back, I got surrounded by Browns fans and had to listen to, here we go, Brownies, woof, woof, and bleep the Steelers the whole 35-minute walk back through the blizzard to my truck.
Oh, really?
Cry us a river.
We surrounded him and followed him.
Surrounded him.
But that doesn't sound bad.
Like we're woof, a 50s woof. Greasers gang, and we're snapping our fingers.
Well, you compared him to the Jets last week from West Side.
Well, because Irving Berlin's our defensive coordinator.
I don't think that sounds all that bad. Now, it'd be one thing if there were a bunch of Steeler fans who were like, no, they not only sang and cornered us, they also started using their hands and physical force.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's where it's not different. Good. Now, so here's what we were talking about. Like, I can't imagine if I were on the Browns wanting my wife to go to that game in Pittsburgh. No. I can't imagine that. No. Now, I do wonder if they have a different way to get into the stadium, because where it gets messy is in the concourse, in the walk to the stadium. Kenny, you were talking about the bridges, but that experience.
Yeah, it's because I've been to a Steelers game before. They lost that game. They lost to Tampa Bay. It was amazing. I wasn't wearing any Cleveland things either.
Well,
it was,
that's the other thing.
Obviously, I was wearing blank canvas. I was like Rob Lowe.
I'm guessing Carly and all the Browns' girlfriends and wives or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm guessing they're all decked out in their Browns gear, and they have their husbands or boyfriends' names on their jerseys. So it's very easy to pick these people out, because I did it for years doing the tailgate on West 6. We could always tell the groups that weren't just civilian fans. We could always tell who was either related or married to the opposing team's players.
But I've only been to really, other than that Steelers game, I've only been to Browns home games. And Browns players, wives, girlfriends, the whole thing, family, they come in, I think, usually through a different... if they're going to the suites, they go through a different entrance, obviously. So, and plus, that's a home crowd. I don't think the home crowd's going to really bother them. I don't know what the road crowd is, other than I know that Nathan and Andrew were actually talking about it during the broadcast, that they had some F-bombs lobbed their way on the sidelines before in the pregame. It was a boisterous crowd. There were a lot of people there. Ever since, I will say, I think it's reached a new level ever since the helmet incident. They showed that video of the people walk into the game and that next game in Pittsburgh, and I'm like, you couldn't pay me enough money to walk through there. And that looked like the seventh circle
especially, let me ask you,
Pittsburgh hell.
3-10 3-10 Like, obviously the wives and the girlfriends and the family members, they're gonna go support their loved ones.
Yes.
But at 3-10 is that one, especially Pittsburgh rivalry?
It's close.
Is that one you kind of stay away from?
Well, it depends.
Maybe hang back.
It depends. Maybe she. And I don't know. I've met her, but I don't know her that tremendously well. Maybe she goes to every single game, and I just don't know that. She could very well do that. If she does, well, then that's her prerogative. I know that. Listen, I like Wyatt. Obviously, personally, I like Wyatt. I wouldn't suggest anybody to go to Pittsburgh for a Browns Steelers game. Certainly not people I like, unless they were a player for the Cleveland Browns, like Wyatt is. If Wyatt just wanted to, like, if he retires someday and just wants to go to a Browns Steelers game in Pittsburgh, I would suggest going to a different game. I just wouldn't want him to go to, because someone's going to say something that's not, you're not going to like. I don't condone yelling at somebody's family. I don't condone really any of it.
Yeah, then you got to show, like, a level of restraint.
Yes, and you shouldn't have to do that in any setting, but I certainly wouldn't want to do it there. I wouldn't want to feel it outnumbered. I told you, I was uncomfortable leaving game 5. That Yankee fan shoving people around.
Well, didn't we have the incident with, London Fletcher?
Yep.
We had that situation here in Cleveland.
And he's a hometown guy, and they did it.
The West Third Overpass or whatever it was, over there.
I'm just to the point where football, it's just kind of assumed that people are not going to be good sports. Yeah, actually, most people will be good sports, but the ones that do act up, it's going to be annoying.
Well, the vocal ones are going to be vocal.
Yeah, and it's going to be relentless, and they're going to be belligerent. They're going to be drunk. And obviously, Pittsburgh, because you beat them last time, you knew that was going to be a home field advantage yesterday, because the Steeler fans had to hear people like Ken over the last week and a half trash talk them, and they're like, we're good. We're in first place. How are you trash talking us?
It's actually gotten to the point where I'm like, hey, I'd like to go to a different sporting event with you guys out there. And I'm like, nah, I don't know if I'm going to go. But then again, that's probably what those people want. They want me to fear going out there, so I might just step foot right in there. Be real Ric Flair about it. I'm not sure. But no, I wouldn't. For everybody else who doesn't want to take on anybody, there's other road games to go to. Green Bay, they seem to be very hospitable people no matter what. Just go to that game. That seems to be fine with me. But I feel bad. I wish that wouldn't have happened. I wish that Nathan and Andrew wouldn't have gotten jeered on the sidelines. I wish that wouldn't have happened. Players are players. It's an entertainment business. That's part of it. But everybody else, I don't think that they're fair game. I don't think just any person wearing a Browns thing is fair game. For that matter, I don't think any person just wearing a Steelers shirt in Cleveland is a fair game either.
So I should be okay when I take my young sons to this game wearing their Chiefs gear this weekend?
I would say yes.
You definitely got the tickets?
I did say he did. He did get the tickets. On. This is a holiday gift, right?
Well, it was until you just said that.
Come on.
This is their favorite segment, Ken.
Wait a minute. Oh, shut up. You're the one who said it. I didn't say it. You said it. I didn't say it. You just said it.
Thanks a lot.
Well, thanks a lot for what? You didn't have to say you were taking him to the game.
Spoiler alert.
I forgot.
I wonder if the fact that Owen would be with his kids.
It is December for crying out loud.
If that changes the dynamic a little bit.
Fine, kids. Happy 4th of July. You're good to go to the Kansas City game.
Do the idiot fans, the drunken belligerent fans, do they not attack as easily because the kids are there? Or is it the opposite? That they don't want to see kids?
You, that 2018, the one boy who now looks like an adult, when he was much younger, 2018, was told to bleep himself by a woman in the pit. And that was pregame. Yeah.
They're drunk, Anthony. Drunks are drunks. I mean, that's why people get drunk, so they aren't held responsible for their actions.
And
even
just
though
said,
they absolutely are.
Said, just wait until the game's over, and Travis Kelce had a great day, and so did Kareem Hunt.
Yep. I remember that day. It was a sunny day, too.
It was.
Well, we got our ass whooped that day. Lord almighty, did we get our ass whooped that day. That was like the first nail in the coffin, wasn't it? Like the first real one for Hugh. Because he got fired after the Steelers game, right? Memories.